To a familiar portion of scripture. It's in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is a familiar, I guess we'll call it a Sunday school story, but it's one in which is not just for kids. It's for all of us. And it's one that I hope will speak and it'll be kind of current as well, tie in with what's been happening in our world very recently. It's a story of three young men. They're known to us as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their Babylonian names. And it's a story in which had a lot of they used a lot of faith. And we need that same faith as we live in our world today. Daniel chapter 3, let's ask the Lord to help us as we come to His Word, that He will speak to us today. Lord, we come now to Your Word, which is what we're here for. We're here to worship You, we're here to praise You, and we're here, God, to learn more about what You want us to know. So Lord, give help now as we open up these verses and try to glean from them the message that You would have us to learn. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Daniel is part prophecy, part history. And they go together. In fact, if you want to know Revelation, you need to know Daniel, right? Because it's very prophetic. But in amongst the prophecies, there are some very, very famous stories of history. And one of them is here in Daniel chapter 3. Now we're going to be introduced to three guys who you remember from Sunday school days. But let me just kind of remind you of kind of what has happened to this point before we dive into chapter 3. So the nation of Israel has split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was very wicked, had no good kings, God punished them by bringing the Assyrians to attack them. The southern kingdom had some good kings that honored the Lord, and so they lasted longer than the northern king. But they also had some bad kings that led the people astray, and God punished them by sending Babylon to come and capture many, many young men in particular, but many slaves. And these young men that I'm thinking of are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the people of Judah who were taken captive, they've taken captive to Babylon, way over here, right? Modern day Iraq. And these boys are taken over there. And if you remember from the very beginnings of the book of Daniel, they were asked to eat some of the king's food. And Daniel purposed in his heart, he said, I'm not going to eat this food. It's probably been offered to idols. And it's probably, we don't know exactly, but it may have been foods that God had told him not to eat. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hey man, we're not going to eat this. We'll eat something else. And for 10 days they did it, and God blessed their decision to honor Him. And so this is our first introduction to these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wanted to honor God with their lives. We also notice in Daniel chapter 2 that if you're right there, you might as well look at it, right? So there was this dream, Daniel chapter 2, if you look at verse 17, Daniel has been told that the king has this dream and he wants an answer. And so in verse 17, Daniel went to his house and informed his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven. So in other words, hey boys, let's pray. Let's pray. We got this scenario here in front of us. Let's ask God to help us. And so we again see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. These boys calling out to God in prayer. And of course, God gives Daniel the mystery of the night vision that Nebuchadnezzar the king had had. And God honors Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they're given high places in the kingdom. Which leads us now to chapter 3. This week, there's been a lot of preparation for what's going to happen today here Eastern Standard Time around 2 o'clock. There'll be a memorial service for Charlie Kirk, who was a Christian who was murdered for standing up for biblical truths. And I want us to as we go through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, I want us to think about going through trials, going through tough times that we didn't ask for, but are coming our way. How do we deal with that? How do we who are left behind and go through our own trials, how do we handle these things? What does God want us to do? And let's learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as we think about our current landscape in which Christians now, not just now, but as we're not liked in our country, right? You hear about, you guys are just Christian nationalists and you know, you da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And so persecution is going to come our way, all right? And so, how do we handle that? Okay, how do we handle that? Let's go to God's Word now. And as we think about our current events, let's learn from what happened many years ago. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar has just heard this vision, or he just had this night vision in chapter 2 about, and Daniel said, you are the head of gold. And there's going to be these other kingdoms who are coming after you. And so maybe in response to that vision that he had, Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make me a giant statue. And it was probably of him. It says an image of gold, right? So Nebuchadnezzar, very full of pride, then verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So he's calling all the bigwigs, which of course, this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. They were some of the rulers. Now, then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of this image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So they're like, okay, we're here. What you want us to do? And then the herald said, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. To you, the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down in worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, etc., 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 all the men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They all fell down. Bam! Hit their knees. Of course, except three. So here we see this test of their faith. Now, we're not told that Daniel is here. Daniel is probably on a trip. We don't know where he's at. Daniel's probably on the king's business somewhere, because he would not have bowed down either. So Daniel's not here, evidently. Okay? He would not have bowed. So the three guys who are left now are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so the big command is, bow down, or is very simple to remember this, bow or burn. You got two options. I got this huge statue. You can either bow down or you can burn. Doesn't that sound a little bit like kind of what we're going through, right, in our nation, right? You bow down to what humans have set up as their idols. And most of the time it's very selfish, isn't it? Kind of like Nebuchadnezzar. You can't tell me what to do. I live my life the way I want to live it. If I want to do this, I'm going to do it. And you can't stop me. Try it. Right? Very lawless. Lawless. Our country is going more and more lawless, which again is setting up for that final period of time when Jesus is going to come and rapture his church and the great tribulation will begin. Lawlessness. Pride. You can't tell me what to do. This is my body and I do whatever I want to with my body. I mean, this is bow or burn, right? You do what we tell you to do, or we'll cancel you. Or in Charlie's case, they took it to the final stage. We will kill you. Right? So it's bow down to what we believe. We don't even like you telling us your opinion. Right? We don't even want you to debate and express your views. It's bow or burn. And so this was a test. What do we do? What do we do when that's the culture? You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that here it is. This is the quote, Acts 14:22. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. We must, not we might, go through many, not one. It's to be expected. We should expect unbelievers who hate Jesus to act this way. This should not be, you know, just because we live in America, we should not be surprised that this is what is happening. This is a situation where people hate Jesus and therefore they hate Christians. In fact, Jesus said, we should expect that. They hated me, therefore they're going to hate you. We live in a great country. I'm very thankful I live in this country. It is not a perfect country. It is not. It's very troubling. I'm a school teacher, and so we start our day every day by saying the Pledge of Allegiance. It's over the intercom. And it's very interesting to watch how many kids refuse to stand up. I know this country's not perfect. No way. It's not. I'm thankful I'm here, though. I'm thankful I'm here. We have a lot of freedoms that allow us to worship God. But hardships are coming. But hardships are coming. We must go through them. That's what Jesus said. The book of James says this. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. We're going through a time, the testing of our faith. How are we going to respond? Are we going to lash out in violence? Do we shake our fist at God? Do we just give up and say, you know what, I'm done with this Christianity. If this is what it's leading to, I'm out of here. Or do we keep going in faith? And this is what we got to see what happens with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do we do when the trials come? All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, let's see what happens. Verse 8, for this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, can we have a meeting with you, man? Come here. Hey, we noticed something that you need to be aware of. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. Jump down to verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, sir, those Jewish slaves that we brought over. These men, O king, see, you know, this is what they're thinking. These boys, these Jewish boys, that's what they're thinking. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. So, O king, there are some boys here who don't bow down to the ways of the world. They don't bow down to your God, or to this statue, shall we say. Sorry. This statue. We need to punish them. That's where we're at in America. Here are these Christians. They don't do like the rest of us. How should they be punished? Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring him here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, boys? Come on, boys. Surely I misunderstood. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, fellas, I'm going to give you a second chance. Now, if you're ready, at the moment you hear the music, and he mentions all this, you are to fall down and worship the image that I have made. Okay, and if you do that, very well. I'll just forget about what just happened. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? What a challenge Nebuchadnezzar gave to these boys and to Almighty God. Who can stop me? This is how we do things here, and I'm in charge, and you can't stop me. I don't care who your God is. He can't stop me. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. In other words, we're guilty as charged, sir. Yes, sir, we were standing up loud and proud in the back. We did not bow down. Sir, I don't need a defense lawyer here. I plead guilty. I stood. All of us did. So, we don't need to go through any, you know, second chances or anything. Watch what he says. Verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Wow, what faith. What faith that they had. Their faith in God was strong, wasn't it? They knew the consequences of what was going to happen here. It didn't matter. You know that they felt temptation to compromise just one time. You know those thoughts came in their brain because they're humans. I know it would come in my brain. the temptation to give in was very strong, surely, to these boys. What were some of the thoughts that were going through their brain at this very moment before they stood strong? One time ain't gonna hurt. Just one time. My mom and dad are still back in Judah. Possibly, I don't know all this. We're over here in Babylon. No one's gonna know. It's just one time. And so the temptation to compromise is there for all of us, right? In the days in which we live, when we're getting ready to face trials, we want to skirt around it. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you get ready to go through these things, because you're getting ready to get endurance and patience. One time won't hurt. How about this one? This thought was going through their brain. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else believes this. I might as well just go along with the crowd. I need to fit in. You know they were thinking that. How about this one? If we bow down, we'll live and we'll get to serve God longer. Isn't that better? To have a long life and serve God for many, many more years than just have it ended just like that? How about this one? Again, we're far from home. Nobody knows. Compromise. That's the whisper of Satan in our ears. It's okay to join in with the world on this matter. It's okay to cave in, to believe what they're saying, to go on with these ideas that are contrary to God's word. One time won't hurt. So they had a decision. Look at what they said. Verse 17. Our God, whom we serve, is able. He is able to deliver. Guys, we serve a God who is able. Just let that sink in. He is able to do what? Well, the Bible tells us, abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Our God is able to do above and beyond what we can ask or think. Do we give him that chance to prove what he's capable of? Or do we compromise and never give him a chance to prove his power? Our God is able. And then he said, he is able to deliver us. And then very confidently they say, he will deliver us. One way or another, from your hand, O King. In other words, if we die, we've just been delivered. Bye. I'm out of here. I'm with the Lord. If I have to go through the fire, he'll be with me. He's going to deliver me from your hand one way or the other, O King. God is able, and he will deliver me. Charlie Kirk is with the Lord because of his faith. God has delivered him from this trial that he was going through. He got shot, and God delivered him. God will deliver us one way or another. But all along, he's going to be with us as he will be with us who remain. Charlie's with the Lord. God is still with us, as we're getting ready to see. But that's what they believed. And so that gave them confidence to stand and say, no, we're not going to compromise. We're not going to give in to what you want us to do. We're going to stay strong to the Lord. He's proven himself in the past. I didn't eat your food, and God honored me. Because I honored God. And so God wants us to trust Him and not compromise. And if you give us a second chance, King, we're not going to bow. Verse 18. But even if He does not save us from the fire, and we have to go through the fire, let it be known, and you give us a second chance, O King, we're still not going to serve your gods or this golden image that you've set up. So you can just forget about it. We're going to be faithful regardless. You can give me a second chance. You can give me a third chance. I'm going to stand up. Any chance you give me, I'm standing for the Lord. I'm standing. I'm not bowing down to what you want me to do. They left the consequences with God. That's what we need to do. We obey God and let the consequences be in His hands. Lord, I'm going to serve you, and whatever happens is going to happen. But I'm going to serve you faithfully. And one way or the other, you're going to get me out of this. Either I'm going to die and go to be with you, or you're going to get me through this. But I'm going to not compromise. I'm going to be faithful. That's what we need to do. Obey the Lord and leave the consequences with Him. Let him handle it. God is in control. Nothing that happened 2 weeks ago surprised God. That was not a shock to God. God's in total control. Total control. He knew it was going to happen. And God's got a plan. God has a plan. We don't understand God's ways. And sometimes we wouldn't choose to do things the way God has chosen to do things. That's our human side. We don't see the big picture. God does. God sees the big picture. We got to leave the consequences with Him. And so that's what they did. Let's see what happens. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. Anger, isn't that our world today? When we stand up for the Lord, I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to stand for the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath. Right? And his facial expression was altered towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than what it is usually heated. He commanded his army rangers, basically, his best military guys, certain valiant warriors who were in his army, to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blaming fire. Then these men were tied up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in their whole outfit and cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made so extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew the men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got killed, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown in. But these 3 guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the blazing fire, still tied up. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, Hey, whoa. Was it not 3 men that we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They said to the king, certainly, O king, yes, sir. He said, Well, look. I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods. Let's pause here. These boys were thrown into the fiery furnace. The guys who were throwing them in, it was so hot that it killed them. Bam. Now, if that would have happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the instantaneous death, they would have been with the Lord. The Bible says this, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Charlie Kirk's body is still with us. I don't know when the funeral is. I don't know if it might be today. I'm not even sure exactly. But Charlie Kirk's not there. Because of his faith in Jesus, he is present with the Lord. What a comfort. What a comfort to know that when you die, you go to be with Jesus. Again, I'm reminded of my dad, who stood right here on this very platform at this very spot and married me and Kara right here, along with Dale. Stood right here on this very spot, 28, 29. My math skills are weak. But somewhere in that area, he stood right here and married me. My dad is with the Lord. Died 2 years ago. His body is near Myrtle Beach. But my dad is with Jesus. What a comfort. What a comfort to know. But did you catch it? Did we not throw three guys in there? Yeah, we threw three. I see four. And that fourth guy, he's different. And in Nebuchadnezzar, who of course is not a Christian at this point, some believe he became a Christian in chapter 4. I sure do hope so. There's good indications that he did become a believer. But at this point, he surely isn't. He said he looks like a son of the gods. Who was this guy? Well, many people believe that that's a picture of Jesus. That was the pre-incarnate Jesus. Jesus was walking with them through the trial. That's who that was. We're looking at Jesus walking with you through the trial. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never! What a promise we have. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. When your husband gets shot and killed, I will never leave you. When my dad died, Jesus was with us to comfort us. Jesus also lives inside of us. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What a promise. What a promise. As you're going through this, in a very real, Jesus, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. Once you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God lives inside of us. But in a very special way, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, when we go through these times, we might wonder, where is God? I don't know if those three boys actually saw Jesus walking in there. It doesn't say that they saw him. Maybe they didn't even realize he was there. But he was. But he was. Even if you don't know it, what's the promise? I will never leave you, even if you can't tell. He's there. He's there. You know, God gave them what they needed. God gave them His grace in a very special way. Let's just finish the story real quick, and then we'll draw some very practical, I hope, conclusions. Verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded, Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out in the midst of the fire. All these high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their heads singed, nor were their trousers, their clothes damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come on them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel." In this case, Jesus, the angel of the Lord, and delivered, as he's known, the pre-incarnate Jesus in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. Violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies. They said, "Who cares? You can kill us. So as not to serve, we will not obey your command, O king, to worship any god except their own God." You know, God gave them what they needed at the right time. I'm reminded of a story, Corrie ten Boom. She was a lady who was thrown into the concentration camp during World War II because she and her family had hid Jews in her home. When she was first introduced to death, she was very terrified. And her dad came, she was just a little girl, and the dad came up to tuck them in at night. And Corrie said, you know, she was very worried about death. And her dad looked over to her and says, "Corrie, when we go on a train ride, when do I give you the ticket to get on board the train?" She says, "Well, right before we step on board." He says, "That's right. You don't get the ticket 2 weeks in advance and I tell you to hold on to it. I give you the ticket right before you get on board the train." In other words, this is like God's grace. He gives us his grace in these special times when we desperately need it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "My grace is sufficient." That's what you need. You want to go through tough times? I'm going to give you my grace at just the right time. I'm going to encourage you at just the right time when you need it most. God will give us what we need when we need it. When we need it. If we could take just a quick commercial break, what I mean by that is, let me do a 1 minute. Did you know that this is a foreshadowing of future events, this whole story? Then we'll get back to the real story. The fiery furnace, y'all, this is a picture of what's about to happen. And we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. The fiery furnace is a picture of the great tribulation period that's getting ready to come, this 7-year period. And Nebuchadnezzar is a picture or a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. The Antichrist, we're told, is going to set up in the temple. There's going to be a third Jewish temple. And he's going to set up an image to where the people, the Jewish people, are to bow down to this, to him, basically. To him. Bow down to him. It's called the abomination of desolation in the Jewish temple. And so this image that Nebuchadnezzar has built is a picture of that. The three kids, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are the Jewish believers who are going to be preserved through the great tribulation period. And Daniel, who is not in our story, he's a picture of Christians who have been raptured, who do not go through the great tribulation period. So that's kind of a little side thing I just wanted to bring out because prophecy is very important and we need to see it. And so that's a foreshadowing, what we've just seen. If Jesus was to come today, and he might, we will be raptured. We believers who have asked Jesus to save us from our sins, we will be raptured up to be with the Lord, and we will not go through the 7-year tribulation period. So it's a wonderful, wonderful promise, again, that God has given us. Let's conclude in our remaining moments. Number one, trials will come. They're already here. We're not just talking about aches and pains, okay? That's just life, right? That's just going to happen. As you get old, things get old, fall apart, right? You have to replace things and tune them up and put new ones in your mouth. And things, you know, teeth. You know, things, You know what I mean? Things just wear out. I mean, that's a trial. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about trials of when you stand up for Jesus. Trials will come, but we are to be faithful. King, you could let us bow down, play the music 3 or 4 times. It doesn't matter. We're not going to bow, man. We're not going to bow. We need to be faithful. Jesus is always with us. I was reminded of this story again. The 5 missionaries who got killed in 1956, they went down to Ecuador, and they were preaching to these people who basically didn't know what modern civilization was. And to make a long story short, these 5 men were on a beach, and they got jumped by these people out of the villages, and they speared them and used their machetes to cut them, and they killed them. They killed all 5 of them. The murderers told this story. They said that while they were killing, while the men were dying on the beach, these people who, quite a few of them became Christians after this. The murderers of these men became Christians. Many of them became Christians. And they said that they could see above the treetops, they saw people, and they were singing. I don't want to be dogmatic here. But if that happened, that's another illustration of God being with you in the trials in a very special way. Jesus is always with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God turns tragedy into victory. You know, when Jesus died, Satan was celebrating. Yeah! I shut him up. I showed you, boy. Nailed you to that cross, didn't I? Not knowing that Jesus' death, that was his whole purpose in life, was to come and die for you and me. And Satan thought he had won this great victory, when in reality, that was the plan of God all along, so that you and I could be with God in heaven. Guys, when we see tragedy happen to fellow believers on this earth, God has a plan. And God has a way of turning tragedies into victories. The Bible says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. When Charlie Kirk got killed, that didn't surprise God. No shocks. You know, there's a verse that says this in John 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When Jesus died, it bore much fruit. And I hope that you are part of that fruit, that you have asked Jesus to be your Savior. But we need to die. You and me need to die. I'm not talking about standing up there and getting shot, although that might happen. But Jesus wants us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. We are to die to self. We are to endure suffering, to live for Him. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Matthew 16 says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Again, that might be literally dying, taking a bullet for Jesus. It might be literally taking a spear for Jesus. It might be literal, lose their life. But it also is for us who don't take bullets and machetes. Lose our life for Jesus. God, I'm dedicating my life to you. My goals, my dreams, my purposes in life, they are for you. They're not for me. I'm going to die to self and live for you. And that's when fulfillment and purpose and real meaning in life is accomplished for God. What a great God who gives us grace when we need it, who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Guys, when you go through tough times, when you and I go through tough times, keep our eyes on Jesus. No compromise. Lord, help me to stay faithful to you through the storms. God doesn't tell us there won't be any storms. He says, I'll be with you when you go through them. I'll be there with you. Are you saved today? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Trust the Savior. He is a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He loves you very much. Let's pray. Lord, you're so good to us. We don't deserve it. Lord, we are sinners. Every one of us. We have thought bad thoughts. We've said bad things. We've done bad things. Lord, we need a Savior. And we thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, once we've trusted you as our Savior, now you walk with us in a very special way through the tough times. Lord, I pray for believers today, Lord, as this funeral or this memorial service, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that this would be a time when rededication to you would be made, that we would commit ourselves to being like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and standing up through whatever. And Charlie was another example of that, as were the five missionary men down in Ecuador. Lord, help us to, whatever the cost, Lord, help us to do what we should do. Help us to obey you, God. It's not easy. Give us courage. Give us strength, Lord. We need you. But you are so worthy of our life, Lord. And thank you for our future. You're so good to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.